reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to obtain eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" And Jesus replied, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In this year for consecrated life, it's so important for us to go back to the great gift of consecration and how that's a gift not just for individuals, but for the entire world, because it's through those who are consecrated to the Lord that everyone learns how they're supposed to order their life toward God and toward their kingdom. In this 19th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, we have a lesson in the evangelical councils. Never heard anybody else sort of stress it this way, but it was always apparent for me from the first time I started teaching about the evangelical councils 15 years ago. On Friday, we had that whole passage about chastity, about being eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. On Saturday, if we didn't have the Feast Day of Our Lady, we would have that whole passage basically about trusting filial obedience, when Jesus says that we have to become like little children. So little children were being brought to him. Today, we have an incredibly powerful lesson about evangelical poverty. In the questions and then in the sadness of the rich young man who had many possessions. The first reading today, we see something very important. We see how crucial it is for God's people to have real leaders. So Moses was able to basically keep the people in line. They were constantly battling, but Moses worked at it. Joshua was a very strong leader. No matter how many instructions had been given with crystal clarity, when they got into the promised land, that land of riches, that land flowing with milk and honey, they were constantly being tempted to forsake their real birthright and go and fornicate with the pagan gods. But God, with mercy, would raise up judges for them. As we heard, when there were these great heroes, these people of tremendous courage and example, the Israelites would be brought back to a time to the service of the Lord. As soon as those judges died, off they went. The people do need this type of strong, powerful leadership. This year for consecrated life, it's key for those in the consecrated life to grasp that you are those judges. You are those leaders. By the choices that you've made in the midst of the church, you are an external conscience, asking people how they're doing with regard to the threefold concupiscence. Against pride of life, you show the beauty and the joy that comes from obeying God, even through instruments. Against the lust of the eyes, materialism, you show the real beauty of poverty for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, of this real spiritual poverty, because the kingdom is yours. In the midst of a lust of the flesh, which pornography is running rampant, in which apps like Tinder for several hookups with several different people over the course of every week are making it so much easier for people to be diabolically promiscuous. You show the real beauty of a pure love. Having been loved by the Lord, you love Him back, and in that love, you're able to love others. Leaders. Leaders. To help people to judge themselves and turn to the Judge with a capital J here in this world where He dispenses His mercy from His throne. Let's enter into the scene of the rich young man to ponder more deeply the gift of poverty for the sake of the kingdom of heaven and how important it is for others to be able to see it. This young man approaches and asks Jesus, Master, just calls Him a teacher. Others would have approached the Lord, like we see in some of the miracles, and called Him Lord. It was much more a thing of faith. But Jesus wanted to advance this good young guy in faith. Teacher, what good must I do to inherit eternal life? It is one of the most important questions. We all want a life that will last forever. It's not a life that's just going to come later after somebody dies. It's meant to be a life into which we enter anew. Jesus came to give us that life. But as I always stress, it's not by us, it's Zoe. It's not just what we share with plants and animals, but it's a particular type of life we share with God. It unites us to God. What good must I do to inherit eternal life? Implied in this question was you just can't coast there. It's something you must choose, it's something you must obtain because many don't have it. And Jesus, to inch him on that path of faith, asks him curiously the question, why do you ask me about what is good? As St. John Paul II pondered in Veritatis Splendor, this great encyclical on moral theology, which was introduced by a penetrating analysis of this story of the rich young man, a real Lectio Divina. He said, the rich young man already recognized that there was something divine in Jesus. Only God is good. And when he was asking this teacher about what is good, Jesus was trying to open his eyes to see that he was talking to God. And the whole reason why he was being drawn to him was precisely because of that spark of the divine. And Jesus knew that for this man to find perfection, he was going to have so much trust in Jesus as God that he would be willing to do what Jesus told him. So then Jesus starts basically at the minimum. So many Catholics think that this is the maximum, but it really is the minimum of a Christian life. If you wish to enter into life, again, there's a Passover that needs to take place, leaving something, entering into something new. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. We know what the commandments are. The commandments are those gifts that God has given us to help us to learn how to love God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength, to love our neighbor. We can't enter into life unless we're loving. And the commandments train us on those minimal conditions of love, especially in that second part of the Decalogue which Jesus cites. It was curious that Jesus didn't give the first tablet of the Ten Commandments to this rich young man. Why not? Because this rich young man didn't seem to have a problem with loving God. He did have a real problem with loving neighbor. And Jesus was zeroing in on it, that was where this man's perfection was going to lie. He was willing at the level of wishing to give God what God deserves. He was asking already the right questions. He had kept the commandment of the law from the time he was a young man. But Jesus wanted him to relate to neighbor in a different way, which is where we're going to see him go. All these I have observed. In St. Mark's Gospel, he'll add, from my youth, from my earliest day. And he asks, what do I lack? There's so much into that question. Just keeping the commandments isn't enough for us to be fulfilled. Just not committing mortal sins isn't enough for us to be happy. It's a minimal precondition. It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. There's something more. And we see that with many Catholics who remain merely good. God is calling them to greatness, real spiritual greatness. But the devil's great temptation is to say, hey, you're fine, you're already doing what you need to get into heaven. Life is a pass-fail test. You're in the passing category. Don't try to go for the A+. A D+ will make it for you. Just keep it. What do I still lack? And one of the great genius turns in the gospel, Jesus says, in other words, what you lack is that you have too much. What you lack is you don't lack enough. St. Therese Lisieux, when she was talking about her path of spiritual childhood, about becoming littler, about remaining confident in the Lord, she would always say that we grow in the spiritual life by subtraction instead of accumulation. That what we really need is to allow God to become greater. We're already in relationship with God. We don't have to find that on the outside. We need to strip ourselves away from those types of things that lead us to forget that as Christians living the sacramental life, we've got the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. We have the sacraments. We have all of this already, all that we need. But a lot of times we're distracted by all that we have. One thing do you lack? If you wish to be perfect, if you wish to have it all, if you wish to be teleos and fulfill the purpose of your life, that Greek word for perfect doesn't mean never making a mistake, doesn't mean no flaw. It means that you're fit for the purpose for which you're made. The purpose for which we're made is the glorification of God, the salvation and exaltation of the world. It's lifting it all up for the Lord. If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Give it to those neighbors whom you say you've been loving from your youth. Sacrifice everything for them, not just give them something. Give them all that I've given you. And you will have great treasure in heaven. Rich young man was asking that question about heaven, how to obtain it. It's not going to be by having stuff in this world. It's going to be by building up a treasure in heaven. We can only keep what we give away. St. John Vianney would say, the hands of the poor are the divine depository. Whatever we place in their hands, we're giving to divine bankers, to an account that the IRS can't tax. And then you can come follow me. It's only at that point where he will truly be able to follow Jesus from the inside. Because prior to that, everything else is going to keep him outside of the eye of the needle. But if he wishes to find true happiness, to find the fullness of life in this world, he has to be like that merchant, willing to sell everything in order to obtain and follow and befriend that pearl of great price. You see, at the end of this story, when the rich young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. It's one of the great tragedies. This good man, called to greatness, couldn't because he was enslaved by his stuff. It was too hard for him to give away, which is one of the reasons why Jesus will say how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But it's harder for that to occur than for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle. Is the more stuff we have, the harder it is to give it all away. Now let's come back to you, sisters. In the middle of the world, you need to show you've been given the charism to manifest not only that the type of spiritual poverty to which Jesus was calling this rich young man is possible, but that it really is fulfilling. God has given you that grace. But we do know that the devil always tempts. The devil wants to make us unhappy celibates. The devil wants to make us murmuring obeyers. And the devil wants to make us covetous in our spiritual poverty. That even though on the outside we've given it out, on the inside we're still longing for those possessions we once had. But Jesus wants to help us with his own leadership, to learn from his example, the example of the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph, so many of those who have come before us, that this really is the path to eternal life here and now, to that kingdom in which we're not going to be able to enter with a U-Haul carrying all our junk, but that we're able to grasp that the real prize of the kingdom, the real treasure, the real wealth, is God. Every morning, we have a chance to approach the same good teacher, the same master, that the rich young man approached. Jesus wants to give us eternal life right now. And he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, and the one you have sent. We come into the presence of true riches. But if we're really going to be happy, we need to subtract from our life all these other small g gods, all our own Ashtaroths, so that he might grow, and so that we might, in fact, giving with him all that we have to the poor, find him as our treasure now and in heaven, and follow him all the way to that eternal kingdom. Today, young men and young women, come and approach Jesus. May we go away full of joy, because joy really comes from possessing what we deeply desire when it has the capacity of filling us when we obtain it. Nothing else other than God can do that. And may we, in departing from the source of all joy, go out to the world and show this consumerist, hedonist, individualist world the path to real happiness. I want to finish with one other saying of St. John Paul II. Back in 1985, which was the International Year for Youth, he wrote a letter to the young people of the world on the parable of the rich young man and how we're all supposed to grow in this dialogue with Jesus. Now, Jesus really does challenge us. But then he also wrote a letter to the priests of the world to try to help them to guide the young appropriately. And there are a lot of incredible insights there, but the only one I'll focus on is about the rich young man's sadness. St. John Paul II said it was a salvific sadness. He was leaving saddened, and he should have been leaving saddened. Why was he so sad? Because he knew he was being called to more, he just couldn't seize it yet. And there are lots of the early traditions in the church that said that the rich young man was Mark the evangelist. From interior evidence within Mark's gospel, that after that had eaten him alive for a little bit, he was willing to let everything go and come back and follow the Lord all the way. Let us pray for all those people today who are sad because they're up until now incapable of making the choice that God by his mercy has given us the grace to do. Let us continue to encourage them, because it is this choice join the whole church in spiritual poverty that leads to the only wealth that endures. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.